Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, to another study together. And aren't we glad and thankful that we do have the written Word of God that God has given us physically that we can sit down and look at and believe and trust in and that will never let us down? There's anybody that has sincerely and devotionally and on purpose put their trust in God's Word, God's never failed them. I've not ever heard anybody tell me that the Word of God failed them. I've heard people tell me they're mad at God and tell me that the Lord didn't take up for them or the Lord didn't do this or didn't answer a prayer or things like that. But I've never heard anybody say that God's Word let them down. Never. Never have I heard it. Have you heard it? I bet not, because it doesn't. It doesn't let you down. The Word of God is pure, and it's truth. Thy Word is truth, the Bible says. Well, welcome to this study. We're going to get back into our study of the letter J, the third study in the letter J, and that is judgment and judging. We let off our study, just to recap a little bit, we're talking about a judge. We're talking about what is a judge, and we went over the topics of history of judges, and we learned quite a bit about that, and then we talked about the procedures of judges on our last study, and this study right here, we're going to talk about the office of judges in Scripture. The office of judges in Scripture, and some facts and some truths of what the Scripture says about the office itself of a judge. But before we do that, I missed the boat again. Last time I didn't give you the Scriptures again, and I apologize for that. I mean, it's just getting old. So that's just all there is to it. No excuse. But let me give them to you. This is for our last study, our previous study. I think it was the fourth study in this lesson. On the procedures of judges that we studied last time. These are the Scriptures that we used for that. And if you'd like to have them, I'm fixing to recite them to you, and you can write them down. The first one is Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13. And then we spoke about and read Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 1. These ought to have been the first things I gave you. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. John chapter 7 and verse 51. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 through 19. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 8 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10 and 11. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 18, verse 8, or excuse me, not Hebrews, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 18. Hopefully y'all using pencils with erasers on it when you're dealing with me. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 12 through 15. And that's where we stopped. We stopped right there. And that was concerning the procedures of judges in the Scriptures. All right. Today we're going to get into the third category of this before we change topics concerning judges and judging. And this is going to be the topic of office. The office of judges. The office of judges. Well, what about the office of judges? Well, the Bible has plenty to say about it. There's some facts concerning it. It's a little bit different than the procedures. The procedures have to do with the way the man is commanded to carry out the office. But the office itself, what are the facts about the office and its standing in Scripture and what the Lord thinks about it and what Scripture says about it? Well, let's talk about that. The first thing about the office of a judge in Scripture is that it's divinely instituted. It's divinely instituted. It's not instituted by man. The office of a judge in Scripture is instituted by a divine authority. And that is, you know, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Trinity, the Godhead. The office of a judge is established and instituted divinely. Let's look at some scripture on that. 2 Samuel. That's what I wanted to say. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 11 tells us that. And it says, "And as since the time that I commanded judges," notice the Lord talking, "that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Notice in the scripture that the Lord claims responsibility for the judges, and that he is the one that commanded judges to be over the people, Judges come from the Lord. They're divinely instituted, and the office of a judge is also divinely instituted. Now, of course, when it comes to man, has judges that are not divinely instituted there. But the office of the judge itself, where it comes from and where it is instituted and where it should be, it should come from, is from the Lord. But if you want to know where it started with the Lord. I mean, I'm sure there were judges over man, but we're talking about the office of a judge should be and is, according to the Lord himself, divinely instituted. That's the way it ought to be categorized, and that's the way it ought to be thought of when it comes to thinking about a judge and the office of a judge. There's a lot of respect. Usually, nowadays, some of these judges, and I'm making comments about this kind of stuff because I hear it on the news and I see it. Nowadays, in 2023, judges are doing some things that you would not ever think and making some kind of decisions that you'd never, ever think that could happen to a office of such reputation and such a dignity. It's supposed to be divinely instituted, and any judge that is placed in that position of the office of a judge should have that kind of mind in him and that kind of heart in him and that kind of fear in him, knowing that the office of a judge is commanded by the Lord. And the scripture plainly says that the Lord's going to hold people responsible that sit in that office and hold that office. And that's not to be strictly with the judges that were over Israel. That's talking about any judge. And there are some judges that are going to stand before the Lord, and my, oh my, just the office itself of holding an office of a judge and some of the things these judges do. They're going to get it. Because there be higher authority than they. The first thing is that the office of a judge is divinely instituted. It is and it should be. And any human that sits in the office of a judge should consider it that way and see it that way. And any person, human being, that's voting people into the office of a judge, that's another thing. It's an office that has such a reputation that it is to be voted upon. People vote somebody into an office. I mean, that's what they did in the scriptures. So the Lord told the apostles told the church to look among themselves and pick out the deacons, didn't they? And they voted them in. And this matter about judges and the office of a judge is voted in today. You vote for judges on your ballot. And they're nominated and they're examined and everything. If you was to sit down and do an interview with a judge and ask him questions, you'd ask him questions scan him and see where his heart stands concerning divine matters. What saith the Lord? What would you do in this circumstance? I mean, they ask a whole bunch about what would you do about all this, and just question after question of things that have nothing to do with changing anything at all. The idea of a judge divinely appointed and with a divine office thinks about matters of the heart, because nothing changes until the heart changes. And it don't matter if you're dealing with one person in a private room in a counseling session or whether you're dealing with a nation and judging a nation, judging for a nation or for a people. It's divinely instituted, and it's matters of the heart. It's about truth. It's about truth. And lining the truth up with the law, and lining the law up with truth. Divinely instituted. What else? What else about the office of a judge? Well, the office of a judge is limited to human affairs. It's limited to human affairs. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 25, the scripture says, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." Now, that's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good statement concerning the office of a judge. It's limited to human affairs. It deals with humans. There's, even though it's divinely instituted, it should have the authority of a divine nature behind it, but it's limited to human affairs. Only humans can judge humans as far as the office of a judge, you see. And so on and so forth. Divinely instituted, it's limited to human affairs. A man cannot judge God, even though he thinks he can. And a man that sits in the office of a judge, some of them think that they can nowadays. They can make decisions for God. And when they make decisions against that book and against God's word, they are making decisions against God. But that doesn't make it an authority over God, because there be higher than they. And we know who that is, don't we? Divinely instituted, the office of a judge, and it's limited to human affairs. And number three, the third thing that is interesting about the office of a judge is, now remember, we're talking about a judge. A judge is, it's restricted by righteousness. Now, we're talking about scriptural things. We're talking about what saith the Lord. We're not talking about rules and regulations and schooling and doctorate degrees and blabbity, blabbity, and all the qualifications and blah, 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 blah under the human sort of qualifications. We're talking about the office itself is restricted by righteousness. Nobody should step in to the office of a judge unless they're interested in righteousness. The Lord said, "Put away evil, love the good, and hate the evil." The Lord says that. Now, he's talking to everybody when he says that, but especially the office of a judge, the Lord is concrete and staunch about it's restricted by righteousness. You better not get in the office of a judge and sit in the seat of a judge unless you're interested in righteousness. And what is righteousness? Doing right. Righteousness. The right thing. Doing the right thing. Making the right choices. Righteousness. Righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 18 through 20, the Bible says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout the tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment." He didn't say if you want to. He didn't say if it's feasible or if it's pretty clear-cut case and it's not a hard kind of judgment, he said, that's what you got to do. And they shall judge the people with just judgment, righteous judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. In other words, change it or confuse it or do it wrongly. Thou shalt not respect persons. It don't matter who it is. It could be two people that one you look at and you like, one of them's nice and one of them's meaner than a snake. It don't matter. You judge without respect of persons. Thou shalt not respect persons. And neither take a gift. You better not take a gift that caused you to change your judgment and pervert your and blind your eyes. That's what it says. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. And that's something that the office of a judge has to use is his eyes and his wisdom and righteousness. His words should be righteous, and respect of persons and taking gifts and resting judgment blinds his eyes and it perverts his words. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The office of a judge, according to the word of God and according to the Lord and according to what's right, not what is convenient or not what the rules have changed. Judges can do this now and judges can do that now. The Lord just laid it down in three different things there. Don't take a gift, don't wrest judgment, and don't respect persons. If a judge is doing that, and he's holding to it, and he is following that path of the restrictions that the Lord has placed right there, there's only three of them, the restrictions, and he's going by them, then he's going by righteousness. The office of a judge is to be restricted by righteousness. And that's not all. Here's another one. It's to be fulfilled and needful. It's in need of great wisdom. You can't just put somebody in there in the seat of a judge, according to the Lord and the Word of God, put somebody in to judge people that really has a heart for it and cares about people and cares about that office. Just put any old somebody in there. It's got to be a person that's got great wisdom, God-given wisdom, divine wisdom from the Lord to be able to discern between good and evil. That's what the Bible says wisdom is. You know what the Lord gives for a definition of somebody that can be noticeably getting wiser? Do you know what the definition of that is? Somebody that is able to discern between good and evil. The more that you get to where you can tell the difference between good and evil, the wiser you become, the Bible says. You know, there's some grown-ups, there's people that are grown-ups in this world today that can't tell you the difference between good and evil. Yeah. Do you know the difference between good and evil? You should. You got a book right there that breaks it down for you. And it's just as simple as a five-year-old that can read. Five-year-old can read that book and tell. I can ask any five-year-old what is right and wrong, and they can lay it out for me. Just in simple terms and one sentence. Is lying right or wrong? They ain't got no problem with it. They'll tell you in just a second. And you ask some adults nowadays, and what do they tell you? Well, now, and here we go. It's according to, and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah-blah. That ain't the way the Lord says that wisdom has to be. for an office of a judge, it's needful for great wisdom. You know, the wisest man that the Lord claimed to be the wisest man and put the title of the wisest man, and boy, did he go through some trials and go through some schooling to find out what real wisdom was. And he found out in hard ways in some of the matters. But 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, Solomon tells us some things. He says, "Give therefore thy servant." This is when the Lord said that he was going to, he asked Solomon he could have anything he wanted, and Solomon asked that. This is what Solomon asked. He said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." In other words, Lord, I don't want a whole bunch of money. I don't want no big fine house. I don't need a Cadillac. I don't need Arabian horses. He said, I don't, even though he did later. But that was his choice, not God's. God warned him about that. But he said, at the beginning, he said, I don't need a whole bunch of this and that and the other. He said, Lord, what I need and the position that you've put me in, he said, this is the way my heart is now. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. When I have to judge these people, all of this millions of Jews, these millions of the children of Israel, he said, give me a heart to judge thy people, an understanding heart. And notice what he declared that wisdom was and where it comes from. The heart. Remember we talked about that just a minute ago? An understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may, and here it is, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And do you know that the Lord was impressed with that answer and that request? The Lord told that man he could have, just ask me what you want. I'm giving you a blank check. You can ask me for what you want. Talk about making a wish and getting your wish answered. Here it is. What do you want? And the man said, give me an understanding heart to be able to judge thy people. We're talking about the office of a judge. Office of a judge is restricted by righteousness. It's limited to human affairs, and it's divinely instituted, and it's needful of great wisdom. The wisest man in the world that was divinely given wisdom. To be able to, the wisest man in the world had to get the wisdom directly from God to be able to do it in a way that impressed the Lord. And he knew it. He knew he wasn't going to be able to judge these people in a right way. He honored that office of a judge. He said, this is scary, Lord. I don't want to be in this office unless I get some understanding in my heart from you. And what kind of understanding? The kind of understanding that I may discern between good and bad. You see, and when you can discern between good and bad, then the only other decision you got to do is decide that you're not going to respect persons, that you're not going to wrest judgment, you're not going to change it or corrupt it or anything, and you're not going to take a gift from nobody. And then you'll do the right thing. The office of a judge is in need of great wisdom. Yes, it is. And it should still be. We got some judges that say some pretty corrupt things nowadays and approve and disapprove of some surprisingly very important topics having to do with humans and having to do with standing before God and making decisions. You know, I wouldn't want to be in some of these judges' cloaks sitting on the bench and having made some of the decisions. I mean, they make some, there's some of them make some decisions that make you stand back and go, I can't believe that man's in that office and able to say something like that and do something like that. Well, you know what corrupts judges and what makes judges make other than righteous decisions? Well, the Lord told us. Resting judgment. You change it. You corrupt it. You make it fit the moment. Respecting persons. Or taking a gift. Oh, Brother TV, ain't none of that going on. Really, really? Really, really? Is that what you really, really think? Needful of great wisdom. I ain't saying all of them. I know there's some judges out there that are fighting to do right. I know there are. But they're not the rule anymore. They're the exception. Needful of great wisdom. But that doesn't change God's mind about this office. Boy, that's one thing you don't want to go into eternity about and have to stand before the Lord about, is having held the office of a judge and corrupted it. Needful of great wisdom. What else? Well, restricted by righteousness, we talked about, and divinely instituted, and is limited to human affairs, and needful of great wisdom, and it's easily corrupted. It's easily corrupted. And you know what stands between a good judge and a bad judge? A decision. A decision of whether it's being judged by divine judgment, spiritual things, the heart, or whether it's being judged by wicked judgment, not spiritual, but fleshly things. Fleshly, carnal judging. Micah chapter 7, the Bible says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Now, how do you suppose Micah knew to write down that inspired, God the Holy Ghost inspired words that he just wrote down there? Because it's easily corrupted. Because the office of a judge, and that's what we're talking about, the office of judges in Scripture, is easily corrupted. Micah said that. He said the good man's gone. He said it's perished out of the earth. That's what I was telling you. It's not the rule anymore. It's the exception. A man is going to get persecuted, and he's going to get it from both sides if he's going to stand up for the Lord and hold that office in a righteous manner. And the Lord will back him up, of course. I know the Lord will back him up. But he's going to get it, because that's not the way the office is being held nowadays. There are some sincere folks that are holding that office from their heart and are fearing God and every word that comes out of their mouth concerning judgment. And they won't take a gift, and they won't respect no persons, and they're not going to change what's right and wrong and rest judgment. But they're going to get it for it. A good man has perished out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. It's easily corrupted. The office of a judge is. It's got to be guarded. It's got to be disciplined. They got to be the right person in there. A person that's interested in a divine instituted office. In other words, he wants to do the things, or she wants to do the things that are pleasing in the eyes and the sight of the Lord when it comes to judgment. Yeah. What else? Well, as we talked about before and throughout this lesson, it's unjustly used, the office of a judge. The Bible says in Acts, over in the New Testament, Acts chapter 25 and verse 2 and 3, or Acts chapter 23 and verse 2 and 3, it says, "And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." Of course, we know we're talking about when the Apostle Paul was standing before him, and he had said something, and the high priest didn't like it, and he commanded one of them guys to slap him in the mouth. And listen to what Paul told him. "Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou and judgest me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" Yeah. Using that office for your authority. What I want to say and do. Not what's right and wrong and written, but slap him in the mouth. It's unjustly used. And they did with Paul. And they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. They used that office of a judge unjustly. Unjustly, and they're going to pay for it. And they're going to pay for it. The Jews are still paying for it. In Acts chapter 25, and we'll be paying for it until the Lord comes back. And the worst is yet to come. Acts chapter 25, verse 9, and I'm not anti-Semitic. I love the Jews. I want them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But according to the scriptures, they're not going to until the Lord comes back. And they're going to get it in the tribulation. That's going to be wrapping up the end of their suffering for 2,000 years for rejecting Jesus Christ and saying his blood be upon us and our children. Boy, has it been. Boy, has it been. Acts chapter 25, verse 9 through 11, talking about unjustly used office of the judge. It says, "But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure." What is that? That's respecting persons. He wanted to do the Jews a pleasure. "Well, I'm going to judge something here, and I want the Jews to come out on top." So that's respecting persons. "Thou shalt not respect persons. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender and have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar." And, of course, that's one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ told him when he met him on the road to Damascus, is that he's going to go before kings and he's going to go before Caesar. And he did. And the Lord made it come about. After he said that, then that judge, Festus, told him, "You appeal to Caesar, to Caesar you shall go." And that's what happened. But that's where he died. So, I got his head cut off. So, talking about unjustly used, we see that Festus there was willing to do the Jews a pleasure, so he tried to talk Paul into going back to Jerusalem in that courtroom and get judged by him. Paul says, "I ain't going back there. Them Jews knows I ain't done nothing, but they're after me. and they're going to try to kill me. And I'm not an offender, and I ain't scared. And if I'm worthy of death, I'll die. And I don't refuse to die if I've done something wrong. He said, but I ain't done nothing wrong. So I appeal to Caesar. If that's the only decision you're giving me, then I appeal to Caesar. And he had no other choice legally as a judge. He had to drop the case himself, and Paul said he wanted to be heard by Caesar, which Caesar was above him, and he wasn't about to question him. So, unjustly used, you see. Ananias having Paul slapped in the mouth in the courtroom, and the Lord said, and there was even some other fellows, some of the soldiers that tied Paul up and was fixing to give him a whooping. And he says, is it lawful for y'all to beat a man and give men stripes and beat a man that is a Roman against until he's found guilty? And that scared the pants off of him. And they turned him loose and turned out being real nice to him then, because they found out that if they found out that a Roman beat up a Roman citizen and punished him when he hadn't been tried, they were going to get it. So anyway, you see how this thing is, the office of a judge, and how important this thing is? Unjustly used. And what else? Well, what have we been over? We've talked about divinely instituted as far as the office of a judge. According to the Scripture, the Lord instituted it, and it's supposed to be carried out no matter where it is, no matter what country it's in, no matter who's in the office. It's supposed to be carried out by divine institution. And the Lord instituted it. He expects whoever sits in that office to do right and to do what his word says to do. Limits to human affairs, restricted by righteousness, needful of great wisdom. It's easily corrupted. All it takes is just one little old change of mind, or maybe a envelope in the hand, or either a promotion, or whatever. Or maybe to do the Jews a favor, or maybe you made me mad and I'm going to have you slap in the mouth. Easily corrupted. Unjustly used. And finally, it's fulfilled. The office of a judge is fulfilled perfectly in Christ Jesus. It's fulfilled perfectly in Christ Jesus. And aren't you glad of that? Because He is our judge. He's our judge. He's the one that stood in for us and stood in for us. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, listen to this. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war any more. Jesus is the perfect judge. He's the perfect judge for the office of a judge. He is. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity, things being equal, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Jesus ain't fooling around as far as being a judge. He holds that office perfectly. Perfectly. The Lord's not going to be corrupted by anybody. And one thing I love dearly about the Lord is that he's not going to be manipulated by anybody in any kind of way. That's one thing that's wonderful about him. We're going to have the mind of Christ. He's going to change us and conform us into the image of Christ. One day we're going to be like him perfectly. And it's going to be wonderful not to have wicked thoughts come into your mind, not to have to be tempted to make the wrong choices for the wrong reasons, and just all this sort of mess that we have to deal with in this flesh, carrying around this flesh, and dealing with the enemy, and dealing with this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We're not going to have to do that. Because there is a perfect judge headed to the office of judge, and he's going to hold it perfectly and carry it out perfectly. And the Bible even says that the body of Christ is going to rule and reign with him and be kings and judges. We're going to judge angels, the Bible says. And the Lord wouldn't put anybody in the office of a judge unless they could carry it out perfectly. So you see what the Lord's got, how he's going to change us. And he's changing us. He's changing us right now, ain't he? Day by day. Word by word. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. What about the office of a judge? What about it? Well, it's divinely instituted. It's limited. It limits to human affairs. It's restricted by righteousness. It's needful of great wisdom. It's easily corrupted. It's unjustly used. And it's going to be fulfilled. It is fulfilled and is going to be completely fulfilled perfectly in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's some good stuff, ain't it? That's some good stuff. Amen. We're going to stop right there. And that concludes this portion of the study having to do with a judge that we began the study with, talking about the history of judges. And we talked about the procedures of judges. And today we've talked about the office of judges. We're in the next study, we're going to leave that topic, and as far as judgment and judging study, we're going to go into talking about the judges of Israel, and we're going to talk a little bit about them and learn what the scriptures have to say about that. We're just doing a lot of background stuff and learning a lot of stuff about scripture having to do with judgment and judging, but it will get a little more personal as we get into it, and we'll find out what kind of judgment and judging we should have in our minds and our hearts about what is right and what is wrong. So far, we see that it's important to the Lord, haven't we? And we found out that the Lord's laid it down, and it's important to him. And as a matter of fact, it's going to end up with his son sitting in the seat. So as far as judgment and judging, it's not exactly the way the world lays it out or the devil lays it out, as far as you can't judge me and all this kind of gobbledygook and all this hip-hop and foolishness that's going on and being said in the world today out of selfish and manipulating and just all this mess. What is judgment and judging? Well, that's what we're finding out. Next study, we're going to talk about judges of Israel. Judges of Israel. Interesting study so far having to do with a judge. Let me give you the rest of these scriptures, okay? See, I didn't forget, did I? I didn't forget. Thank you for reminding me. Are you ready? Here's the ones that we use today. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18 through 20. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Micah chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. Acts chapter 23, verse 2 and 3. Acts chapter 25, verse 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. And the last one that we use today is Acts chapter 17, chapter 17, verse 31. Verse 31. All right. And there they are. We're all up to date, and I ain't put you behind no more. We're going to talk about the judges of Israel in our study of judgment and judging on our next time that we come together. Be faithful to God's word and learn it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We divide it rightly, not wrongly. Okay? All right. Well, there we go. And I look forward to fellowshipping with you again and honoring our Lord and learning His word. Isn't God's word sweet? Isn't it sweet? Sweeter than honey. It's sweet. Okay, well, you have a wonderful evening or a morning or whatever it is you're having. And I love you with Christ love. That's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Bye-bye.